So it's such a great time to hear right now. It's the presence of the Lord in this place, and we can feel his joy, his presence. He's beautiful. As I was praying last week, the Holy Spirit reminded me of a vital topic we spoke about a few weeks ago. It prompted me to revisit it with you today. So our faith and obedience to the Lord. Our faith and obedience to the Lord. It's a huge topic. I mean, we can live all our lives and just learn how to obey the Lord. Today's Torah chapter is one of my favorite chapters because it describes Jacob's life and calling as the patriarch of the Jewish people. First, I would like to remind us of Jacob's story. Let's take a couple minutes to remind us his story. Unfortunately, today there is still an opinion that Jacob was a liar and a hypocrite, who stole the birthright from his naive brother Esau by deception. And sometimes some people feel sorry for Esau and very angry on Jacob. And only much later in his life, Jacob became Israel and is completely transformed from a deceiver into a man of God. So such a theory out there in this world. But this is absolutely not a biblical point of view. Not a biblical. Jacob was born to be a patriarch and to continue the faith of Abraham and Isaac. He was born to do so. That was his calling and the goal of his entire life from the beginning. So let's read what the Lord says about Jacob even before he was born. Let us open Genesis chapter 25, and let's start with verse 21. Genesis 25, 21. So Isaac prayed to Adonai on behalf of his wife because she was barren. For many years she prayed and expected and prayed that the Lord will give him a son. Adonai answered his plea, and his wife Rebekah became pregnant. But the children struggled with one another inside her, and she said, "If it's like this, why is this happening to me?" So she went to inquire of Adonai. She was a woman of God. She was a woman of God. In some parts, even more stronger than her husband. I'm sorry, guys. Adonai said to her, which is interesting, Adonai said to her, he answered her, "Two nations are in your womb, and two peoples from your body will be separated. One people will be stronger than the other people, but the older will serve the younger." Even though the older will be stronger, he will serve the younger. When her time came to give birth, indeed, there were twins in her womb. You know, it was before all this sound, ultrasound. So actually, it was two. The Lord was right. Now the first came out reddish. All of him was like a fur coat, a beautiful child. And they named him Esau. Afterward, his brother came out with his hand holding onto Esau's heel. So he was named Jacob. Isaac was 60 years old when he fathered them. So the name Jacob, Jacob, is derived from Akev, which means heel. So Jacob means heel catcher or he who follows upon the heels of one. It is not a deceiver. It's not a liar in Hebrew. No way. So what happened here? Rebecca experienced such a severe pregnancy that she went to pray in order to understand what was happening and what to do next. And when she prayed and asked the Lord why she was suffering so much, she received a clear answer from God. Verse 23, but the older will serve the younger. It was a voice from the Lord. It was the voice of the Lord. First, I would like to immediately make it clear that Jacob did not steal the birthright blessing. It was given to him by God even before his birth. It was the promise from the Lord to him. Romans chapter 9, verse 10 through verse 14. Romans 9, 10 through 14. And not only this, but also God gave Rebekah twins, two sons from one act with our father Isaac. Yet before the sons were even born and had done anything good or bad, so that God's purpose and choice might stand not because of works, but because of him who calls, it was said to her, the older shall serve the younger. As it is written, Jacob I loved, but Esau I hated. So, Rebekah received a word from the Lord that Jacob was the continuer of the blessed line of the chosen people. She was a mother who was able to hear the voice of God and submit to the will of the Lord. She remembered the word from the Lord and conveyed it to her youngest son, thereby helping Jacob enter his calling. It is very important to remember. Rebekah was the one who was able to push Jacob to fight for his calling. And she told Jacob how and when to approach his father. Actually, Isaac was really stubborn, I think. He was really stubborn. But she was able to push Jacob to go at a special time, because she knew the promise and the word from the Lord. So it's the first part. The second part. Let's read how the Torah describes Jacob. Genesis 25, 27. And please keep your finger on Genesis 25, because we will go back there many times. So Genesis 25, 27. While Jacob was a mild man, remaining in tents. So mild man in Hebrew, ish tam, literally means perfect, complete, morally innocent, having integrity, one who is morally pure and gentle. He was described in the Torah as a gentle, pure, wonderful man of God. The same word that describes the character of Jacob is used in the Bible to describe Job. Job chapter 1, verse 1. There was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job. Now that man was blameless, this word tam is here, blameless and upright. Only two people in the Bible describe with the word tam. First one was Jacob, and another one, it was Job. Everything begins with a G. Probably this is the reason why. So Torah described Jacob as a humble, God-fearing, moral man of integrity, pleasing to the Lord. So this is the foundation of our discussion. This is the foundation. He was not a liar. He didn't steal anything. It was his by promise from the Lord. He was born to be a patriarch of the Jewish people. He was born to be a patriarch. And now, after we lay the foundation for our further discussion, I want to talk about a very important topic. I want to take a closer look at Esau's life and see why Jacob and not Esau becomes the patriarch of the Jewish people. What happened? What was in Esau's heart? And what was in Jacob that he became the winner and achiever, the goal of his whole life, even when it seemed impossible? It was impossible. So we have already discussed that Jacob was not a deceiver and that sin had nothing to do with it. So it's the basis. So let us read about Esau in the Bible. Let us open Genesis 25 and read two verses, 27 and 28. So when the boys grew up, Esau became a man knowledgeable in hunting and outdoorsman. Now Isaac loved Esau because he had a taste for wild game. So the Torah describes Esau as knowledgeable, experienced in hunting, learner, skillful, and capable person. He was good. He wasn't a bad person. Esau was prominent and promising, successful in earthly life. And for this, his father loved him and saw in him the future protector and breadwinner of the family. Isaac saw him as a future of his family. So, and I would like to paint a picture here. For Esau, it would seem that everything has already been decided. And if the Lord wanted Jacob to be the eldest and heir of Isaac, he would be born first. For Esau, everything was decided in his mind. He was sure that he is firstborn and it's impossible to change. And it looked like Esau didn't have to worry because the birthright could not be changed. It's a fact. He's first. But you know, truth is, it doesn't work like that with the Lord. Wow. Not be so sure. It doesn't work like that with the Lord. The Bible teaches us that we are to inherit a blessing only by faith. This is the key to the blessing from the Lord. Hebrews chapter 6, one of my favorite places, and this is the key verse for today, actually. It's a great word here. Hebrews 6, 11 and 12. Can you please read with me, because it's a very interesting place. But we long for each of you to show the same eagerness for the certainty of hope to the very end. So keep going, keep pressing. Stay in your hope. Moving forward. Do something. Verse 12. So you will not be sluggish. You know, I sometimes like to be sluggish, to be true. And especially on Saturday morning when it's rainy outside. Yeah, but, so we will not be sluggish, but imitators of those inheriting the promises through trust, through faith, and perseverance. And we can put here Jacob because he was full of faith. He was persevering. The condition of our spiritual success is not in our family bloodline or our talents and abilities, but in our faith. Let us say together, in our faith. This is the way how to reach the Lord, how to please Him, the only way. So, Esau, he was self-confident and talented, successful, and convinced that his father loved only him so much. So he decided to no longer be interested in the spiritual side of his life. He became sluggish in his spiritual life. He became sluggish. He didn't care about anything. So we can read the story that shows how Esau related to spiritual blessings and the priesthood. Let us open again Genesis 25 and verse 33 through verse 34. 35. So Jacob said, make a pledge to me now. So he made a pledge to him and sold his birthright to Jacob. And remember, what was the price? How much? You know, I love this. The question, how much? Yeah. How much? Then Jacob gave Esau bread. So not only lentils stew, but also bread. Twice as much. Then Jacob gave Esau bread and the lentil stew. And he ate and drank, then got up and left. And this is the last part of this verse, very important. So Esau despised his birthright. Let's say together, despised. So despise means neglect, to dishonor, to make despisable, to humiliate. In other words, Esau says, why do I need this birthright and with it the priesthood? Why do I need it? Imagine how easily Esau sold and renounced his birthright. He failed the test. He didn't care about this birthright. And let us be careful here. He appreciated the blessing of Abraham and Isaac, the spiritual heritage of the Jewish people, as a bowl of lentil soup, stew. Wow. For Esau, the birthright is something that is invisible, and because of it, incomprehensible. I can touch it, and unprofitable. I can touch the bread and stew, but where is this blessing? How can I touch it? And with the birthright, the priesthood was of no interest to Esau. In the days before the priesthood of Levi, birthright meant not only inheritance, but most importantly, a priesthood. The firstborn son became the priest of the family who appeared before God for the whole family. But here's the most important thing to know. According to the laws of the time, the firstborn son was given his father's blessing to extend and preserve the clan. Can you imagine what would happen if Esau inherited the birthright? The line of Abraham would be interrupted, for sure. Esau was not able to link the faith of Abraham to his children. He didn't care about it at all. The Jewish people would have dissolved among other nations and would never have fulfilled their calling. And let us read Hebrews 12, 16 again, what the Bible says about Esau. One more place in the scriptures. This is the Brit HaDasha, New Testament, Hebrews 12, 16. Also see to it that there is no immoral or godless person like Esau who sold his birthright for one meal. So Bible calls Esau an immoral or godless person. It is clear. Esau sold his birthright. He didn't want and didn't need it. And the word sold also in this place of scripture in Greek also can mean that he gave away. He just gave away for free, for nothing. Likewise, a person who loses his spirituality, no matter how successful he is in his life, gives away God's blessing and purpose. So we need to remember that. The Lord is the first, is the first. Let us open 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Verses 24 and verse 27. Also very important verse. 1 Corinthians 9, 24 through 27. Don't you know that in a stadium the runners all run, but one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may win. Every competitor exercises self-control in all respects. They do it to receive a perishable crown, but we do it to receive an imperishable one. So I run in this way, not aimlessly, not to be sluggish, remember. So I box in this way, not beating the air. Rather, I punish my body and bring it into submission, so that after I have preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified. After I preach to others, I myself not be disqualified. The fact that we have come to the Lord does not mean that now everything will be fine. and we can relax and go with the flow of life, as Esau did. He just went with the flow of his life. Our faith motivates you and me to action, to seek the Lord, to serve God. It is essential for us when we preach to others not to be disqualified. So now let's briefly talk about Jacob, a man motivated by purpose and God's calling, and see what lesson we can learn from his life. So, I love Jacob. He's the man of God, really. I love everything about him. His heart, he's such a man of God. So Jacob's life, if you read carefully from the beginning, is a life fully occupied with one thing, only one thing, the desire to receive the birthright's blessing and be a blessing. So his mother did a great job. She did a great job. So he grown with this idea, the Lord promised me that I will be the first. I will be the continuer of the blessings of Abraham. So Jacob fought for the birthright with Esau in his mother's womb even before he was born. Can you imagine? He wrestled to be born first. When Esau was born, it would seem to Jacob that everything was already decided. Nothing could be changed because Esau won. He was born first. But Jacob believed, strived, did not calm down, and did not give up. He believed that if the Lord made a promise to his mother that he would inherit birthright, then so be it. That is what the Bible calls faith, obedience to the Lord's promise. And this is what persevering faith means, to believe, to trust the Lord, to go forward. Amen. Therefore, today we worship the Lord who calls himself the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Not Esau, Jacob. Amen. Jacob became the continuation of the faith of Abraham, the patriarch of our people. And think about this. Abraham became the first Jew, and Jacob became Israel. Wow. Think about it. Jacob became Israel. And now we have Israel, our nation called by name Israel, Jacob's name. He was something. He was something. Amen. So Jacob did not see himself without the Lord and his calling. And he was ready to leave everything, his family, and become an outcast and run away with only one staff and father's blessing because of the fear of death from his brother. And all this is just to serve God. It was his price. He chose to serve God. The Lord God became everything to Jacob because the fire of the calling burned in his heart. So now let's look at another person who had the fire of God and God's calling in his heart, in the life of the prophet Jeremiah. Let us open Jeremiah chapter 1. It is a very interesting story here. I love this story. Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 4 through verse 7. So, as it usually says, the word of Adonai came to me, to Jeremiah, saying, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you, and before you were born, I set you apart. The same with Jacob. I appointed you prophet to the nations. And verse 6. So the verse 6 is like usual response from people when the Lord is calling them. Then I said, alas, Adonai Elohim, look, I don't know how to speak, for I'm still a boy. It reminds me of my discussion with the Lord when I was a young person at the time. And I remember I talked to the Lord. I said, Lord, I'm ready to do for you anything you want me. I'm ready to preach. I'm ready to even do Shabbat school. Even. Shabbat school for me was kind of somewhere in the bottom of everything. But, Lord, not worship team. true. But not worship team. And it was in the bus on my way from Nikolaev to Odessa. It was on the beginning of the Jewish Messianic Synagogue in Odessa. And of course, I came there with no ability to play. I don't know. Even now, I can't play. Just drum. It's drum for me. I mean, like play the drum. And of course, there were no worship team leader there. And of course, I need to learn how to play guitar and to be worship leader for many years. An amazing thing. Never say no to the Lord. Or no, say no if you want this to be accomplished. Yeah. Be smart. So here, the response from Prophet Jeremiah. If you think that Prophet Jeremiah was so joyful about it, said, "Yes, Lord, I'm a prophet. Wow, such a power. Such a power, prophecy, wow." Yeah, okay. Then I said, "Alas, Adonai Elohim, look, I don't know how to speak, for I'm still a boy." So in other words, Lord, please, is it a joke or what it is? But Adonai answered me, "Do not say I'm only a boy. For to everyone I send you, you will go. And all I command you, you will speak." What an interesting example for us. A young man who does not know anything in life yet, a boy, but feels the fire of the Lord in his heart already, his calling. And as usual, the first reaction to the calling is that I'm still young, not yet experienced, I won't be successful, I don't go. And remember the Moses arguments when the Lord called him to lead the people of Israel out of Egypt. Do you remember? He said he would not go because he was too old and could not longer speak. Do you remember discussion, Moses and the Lord? Wow. Do you think age is a good reason not to do God's will? What do you think? Is it a good reason? So Jeremiah said that he was too young. And Moses said he was already too old. So when to serve the Lord? But the Lord did not even begin to explain anything to Jeremiah. He told him, "You will go where I will send you. It is not a question. You have a calling from me. You will go." Likewise, for each one of us, the Lord has his own goal and his task. We will always have a choice, either to act like Isa, relax, go with flow of life, do nothing, be sluggish about spiritual things, you know. It is a calling, what a problem, no problem. The Lord called me, he will do everything for me. Or live lives like Jacob, Jeremiah, Moses. Say yes to the Lord and ask him to ignite your heart with his fire and to fill with his spirit. And again, it's not only about ministry in the synagogue or elsewhere. You are minister because you are the child of God. You already minister. And it doesn't mean if you are a rabbi or a missionary, you need to have fire of God in your heart. You need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Okay. Amen. It's not condemnation, it's just the scriptural truth. So let's read an interesting passage from the life of Jeremiah. It's chapter 20, verse 7 and verse 9. I love this place. It's an amazing place. So here's the Jeremiah, already grown man, and he's tired to be a prophet. Can you imagine? He was tired to be a prophet. When you go to this modern conference, prophet conference, you will think, wow, it's so cool to be a prophet. You can have so much money, I mean, really. Just to give a couple accurate prophecy to business people and everything's fine. Everything's paid off. But, yeah, I'm making fun here because this was not like in the scriptures. These people paid a lot of price to be prophets. It was not gain for them. It was their ministry all their life. So here's the Jeremiah tired to be a prophet. All his prophesying is about destruction, about, you know, problems. And he tired because people blamed him and everything. They said, it's because of you we are in the problem. You are the cause of these problems. You need to go to the Lord and ask him that he will bless us. Why don't you don't do your job, prophet? So he tired here. And verse 7, he said, Adonai, you enticed me, so I was enticed. You overpowered me and prevailed. Can you imagine? He doesn't want the Lord prevailed him. Verse 9, but if I say I won't mention him, the Lord, or speak any more in his name, then it is like fire burning in my heart, shut up in my bones. I weary myself holding it in, but I cannot. I cannot. Lord, you prevail me. I can't hide from you anymore. Do you remember Jonah? The Lord told him, Jonah, go and prophesy. He said, yes, Lord, and went in a different direction and took first class cruise. Yeah, and third class back to his calling. Yeah, yeah. So, but the same idea here, the same. Not all of us, we are prophets or apostles or rabbis, but we all called to serve the Lord in our places. We need to have this fire of the Lord. And we need to allow the fire of the Lord, his presence, his spirit, to lead us in our lives. Yeah, it is hard to oppose the Lord. It's a very difficult job to do so. Serving the Lord sometimes costs a lot. It comes at a price, but it is worth it. So if you want to be an apostle, oh boy, ask me, I will pray for you, that the Lord will help you. It is a hard job. If you want to be a prophet, it's a great thing to do, but it's a lot of humbleness. It's a lot of humbleness to learn how to prophesy and to be accurate and to be ready to repent and be humble. It is a huge job. So, Jacob could not live without the Lord and faith in him. And only because of this did the impossible happen. The birthright and the right of the priesthood passed to him, not to his elder brother. It's a miracle. So when we read these chapters, we read about the miracle of the Lord. He changed everything. He changed rules. He changed everything because of Jacob's faith and his perseverance. And Esau, who did not care about the spiritual side of his life and considered a calling to be something uninteresting and distant, lost everything. But I have a question. What can replace the Lord and his presence, his love and his calling? What can replace? Absolutely nothing. John 4:34, Yeshua tells them, my food is to do the will of the one who sent me and to accomplish his work. Amen. Food is a source of life and energy for our bodies. So ministering to and serving to the Lord is spiritual food for us. We need to strive for spiritual food, especially when we know that our Father is the Lord God himself, the creator of the universe, and we can do his will, be his voice and his hand. So, and especially now, in these times, I mean, it is so obvious. We need to have fire of the Lord. We need to have his spirit. And you know what? Next year, we need even more. 10 years from this time, we'll need even more. Who knows what will happen in 10 years from now? Guys, it's not the time. We don't have time to be sluggish. Actually, we can be a little bit sluggish, but not in spiritual life. in the morning when we drink coffee, it's a good time to be sluggish. But when it about the serving to the Lord, about the serving in the congregation, so we do a huge, a prophetic job here. By coming here together, worshiping the Lord in this place, it is a prophetic act which we can find in Jeremiah, in Isaiah, in many prophets, in Revelation. Chapter 11 of Romans, think about it. It's about us. We are coming together in the name of the Lord. We as a Jewish Messianic synagogue, a prophetic picture of the last times. Wow, we don't have time to be sluggish. We don't have time to be sluggish. So let's summarize today's study. What Abraham, Jacob, Moses, Jeremiah, and other people of God had in common? The fire of the Lord burned in their hearts, for the fire of the Lord. God was everything to them, the source of life, and the desire to fulfill His call drove them. Likewise, today it is a time to prepare ourselves, fix our lamps, and ask the Lord to help us when we know we need it. We need His help to get His fire. Of course, not all of us are called to be preachers or rabbis, not all missionaries, but we are all called to be children of God and a light to this world, all of us. The love of the Lord in our hearts. And if we need His love, His fire, we can ask Him and He will give us because He wants it even more than we are. And I would like to finish with Matthew chapter 5, verses 14 through verse 16. Matthew 5, 14 through 16. And this is the truth of the scriptures. This is the words of Yeshua the Messiah. We can't change it. It is here. It's inscribed in the book of life. You are the light of the world. Mazel tov. You are the light of the world. You are the light of the world. Sometimes you don't feel it. Sometimes you feel like you are don't have juice anymore or battery anymore. You try to squeeze something out of you, but you are the light of the world. The invisible Spirit of God lives in your heart. It is truth of the scriptures. It doesn't matter if you feel it or not, He is in you. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. You can try, but it's impossible. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a basket. Instead, they put it on a lampstand so it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before men so they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Amen. Amen. Ina, may I invite you? Let us stand together. And in the end, I want to remind you, if Beth Israel is a blessing to you, please consider being a blessing to Beth Israel. And I want to pray, before we'll pray, Ivarechach Adonai, I want to pray that the Lord will help us to get His fire, to remember our calling, to remember His words to us, to be always in His calling, to stay in His calling. Lord, I thank You for Your presence in this place, Lord. I thank You for Beth Israel Messianic Synagogue, Lord. I thank You for Your special, special presence in this room, Lord. I thank You, Lord. I thank You. Please, Lord, help us to worship You. Help us to be in Your fire. Help us not to be sluggish, Lord, in spiritual lives, but to be in fire, to be in Your place, Lord, where You see us, Lord. Help us to follow You, Lord. We ask in the name of Yeshua, our Messiah. Amen. Yivarechach Adonai v'yishmerecha, Yair Adonai panavelecha v'yichunecha, Yisa Adonai panavelecha v'yasem lecha shalom. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May His face shine upon you. May the Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you his peace. Amen. Shabbat shalom, mishpacha.